Welcome to the Fundraising Freedom Podcast with Mary Belloni. I'm your host, Mary Belloni, and this is the place where six and seven-figure fundraisers come to be encouraged, empowered, and educated on how to raise more funds and have more freedom. So today we're in episode 116, and we have my dear friend, Mike Kim, on the show, and I have been waiting for, I'd say, like 3 years to have Mike be a part of my inner circle and to invite you guys to meet him and to actually glean from his marketing wisdom. So it is an honor to invite you, Mike, to the show. Welcome, Mike.
I'm so glad to be here. 3 years. Wow.
I know. I've been listening to your podcast since the very beginning, right?
I guess that would be many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started in 2014.
Yeah. Yep. So it was right about in there. 2015, I think I jumped in. So,
okay, there you go.
And I just, you know, when I first found Mike's podcast, I started to just like, I binge listen. So it was like Netflix, you know, like just listen to his, I was flying, I don't even know where. And you were talking about all these great things you were doing. I was like, man, this guy's got it together. So it's great that we actually met. It's only been about a year and a half that we actually met at a conference, and I heard you speak, and you ignored me for I don't know how long, but it was amazing because you gave such an incredible talk at that conference. And some of you guys listening are part of Author Academy Elite, know me through that route with my book writing process, and got a chance to meet Mike. And Mike has worked in the marketing space with people like Don Miller with StoryBrand, with John Maxwell, with Catalyst, if you're in the Christian space, you know, just a slew of thought leaders and influencers out there in the market. And Mike, you posted something on social media a while back and you said, you know, what's my superpower? And all I could think of is whatever takes me 100 words to say, Mike can say it in 10. So you cut right through the messaging and get right to the point. And I think a lot of us, it's hard for us to get our language out, and we just kind of thumb around, you know, just have a difficult time getting right to the point. And you do it in copy, you do it on the stage, you do it in your podcast, and I think you're just so gifted at it. So I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today.
Oh no, it's my pleasure. I think that's where it really starts. You know, if you do the difficult work of keeping it simple, you'll be one of the few who really stand out, because there's such information overload these days that, you know, people might think, well, writing and copywriting and all that sort of thing is so outdated and old fashioned because we have social media. Well, social media makes it worse. Mm-hmm. So it actually makes good writing stand out, because not as many people write. Anyone can take a picture of their food. Anyone can take a picture of where they're traveling. Anyone can take a picture of these things. But can you wrap a story around that photo? And for those of you who are in the fundraising world, you know the power of that, where you frame pictures with the words and an entire campaign comes together. So I actually think it's a great time to be in fundraising. I think it's a great time to be looking at that kind of option for fundraising, because it's what stands out.
Yeah. So good. So what are you seeing in the nonprofit space? I know you tend to work in more of the corporate side of things. Of course, you and I partner together to help the ministry world. But what is it that you're seeing in the nonprofit space that's actually working in when it comes to marketing?
You know, it's funny. I was just at a trip out to Rockford, Illinois. You know, our good friend Lauren Davis held a conference out there called Social Rock. And she says to me, she's like, oh my gosh, you've got to meet this one lady. I took your support raising template, because I have a support letter template, a fundraising letter template. And Lauren took it and tweaked it for this lady who runs a theater in downtown Rockford. And Rockford is not like this economically booming city. It's more like almost like a rust belt type of city, smaller city. It's like the third largest city in Illinois outside of Chicago and one other city, but not an economically booming city. And so they were trying to raise money for renovations on this theater. And she took this letter and tweaked it, you know, that I'd written. I'll give that to you guys today if you want the link to it. And the lady came up and talked to me. She's like, oh my gosh, you wouldn't believe how much more money came in as a result of what Lauren did with us. And it was like some like 30% more donations came in.
Wow.
And all I gave them was text. All I gave them was a letter, and then they crafted it. But that's what I'm seeing working, because it's still about communication. It's still about being very, very simple. It's still about these very, very, you know, clear messages that people resonate with. Because again, if you do the difficult work of keeping it simple, you'll really, really stand out.
Yeah. Now that letter, which we absolutely have to provide here because it's so good. And I've seen it work over and over and over again for different nonprofits. But the thing that you do is you hit the elephant in the room questions. And so many times we beat around the bush about like questions that people ask us, like, well, why do you really need the money? And what are you actually doing? But you in this letter have the ability to just cut right through the minutiae, like, hi, how are you? I hope you're having a great year. Like, I mean, all that junk. And people just want to know, why do you need my money? Tell me 1, 2, 3, what should I do? And is that like, what happened? How did you even get to this point where you're like, just tell them the elephant in the room, you know, questions.
You know, I feel like it's because that's how I responded to so many. Like, I knew that people were going to ask me for a donation of some sort, yeah. But if you can't overcome or even be willing to address the obvious question, then it's going to be really difficult. Right. So when I talk about addressing the elephant in the room, it's really about building trust. So in the fundraising world, people go through this progression when they're about to make a decision on whether to give and support a certain cause. So, you know, it starts with no. They got to know who you are. If they like you, then that's next. Then they trust you and they try you out, and then they give. And then if they really, you know, believe in what you're doing, they repeat give, and then they refer you, right? So no, like, trust, try, give, repeat, refer. Our job when we're fundraising, communicating, is to do the first three things, to get them to know, like, and trust us. And one of the best ways to build trust is to address these elephants in the room. And what I mean by that, what is the biggest objection somebody could possibly have about giving to you? I mean, that is basically like what it is. Let's say that, you know, I have a story, like, let's just hypothetically say there's a really wealthy businessman raising money to pay for, a $1,000 water pump, right? Let's say this guy's a millionaire, right? A billionaire, right? And he's sending a letter to all his friends and coworkers about helping to raise money for a $1,000 water pump. I mean, if I get this letter, I'm going to be like, why doesn't Bob just pay for it?
Yeah.
It's $1,000. It's not that much money. And so that's a very obvious thing, but that's the question. That's the elephant in the room question. If another, you know, nonprofit is coming to you and they're saying, well, this is our fourth year trying to raise funds for the renovation, and you know, in the first 3 years they raised a lot of money, your elephant in the room question is like, shouldn't they have made these renovations by now? Why should I keep on giving?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? Sometimes we have people who are in social work or other you know, community involvement things, and they'll say, can you support me to work at the local shelter full time? Right. And they'll ask people to support them. And the elephant in the room question is going to, why don't you just get a part-time job during the day? Yeah. Like, you know, what are you feeding people all day? Like, why don't you just get a job? And so, like, these are elephant in the room questions. And if you have the courage to address them, you're going to see results, because that is going to show people that you're trustworthy. And yeah, that is one thing that's super underrated in the process.
Yeah, so good. Well, and people do. They dodge the questions and then they're like, well, why aren't they giving to us? Why are they giving to them and not giving to us? And it's like, well, why don't you start asking those questions? You know, what is it that's going on? Or, you know, what are they bringing up in conversation? And then just flat out address them. And you can, you don't have to do it in a letter format. You can do it, you know, in a private Facebook group. You can do it in an email newsletter. There's lots of different ways that you can do that. But curious, is there anything that stands out to you that you have had so much experience just with people coming and asking you to support their cause? And, you know, you do very well for yourself. And so when people are like, hey, here's somebody that could be giving to our cause. What are some like things or just one situation where it was like, it was bad. It was just like, so that our people know, do not ever do X. Don't do this.
Oh, you know what? Don't waste someone's time. Yeah. That's really what it is. Because I know that they want to solicit some support, which I'm totally fine with. I completely believe in that. I'm a marketer, for goodness sake, you know? So like, I totally get, you know, being direct and asking. What I mean by like, don't waste people's time is don't come unprepared. And I usually boil this down to three P's. You've got to be able to show potential. You've got to show promise, and you've got to show progress. I don't care that you're not completely there yet, but you've got to show me those three things, that there's potential, that there's promise in that, that you're making a promise to me and whoever you're, you know, serving through your organization. And there's got to be progress. If you don't have something as simple as a 30-day plan, a 60-day plan, a 90-day plan, and a 6-month plan, or something along those lines, you're going to repel a lot of business people who have money to give, because that's how they talk every single day. You know, a 30-day, over the next 30 days, we're going to do this. And Mike, over the next 60 days, we're going to do that. And after that, over the next 90 days, we're going to do this. And this will enable us to do fill in the blank for the first 6 months of, you know, the year. And actually, if you take those chunks of time, that's actually 60 days. If you go, over the next 30 days, we're going to do phase one. And in the 60 days that follow that, we're going to do phase two. And in the 90 days that follow that, that's phase three. That's 6 months. Yeah. And then now I can actually read into like what they're doing. Like, so doing these renovations represents huge potential for the people in downtown Rockford, right? To help thousands of local business owners and thousands of local organizations bring people into the city so that they can watch these shows and so on and so forth. That's potential. And if you just word it that way, boom, easy, right? So over the next 30 days, we have promised the town of Rockford that we are going to do a campaign to bring people downtown into the area and create something that gets people foot traffic into their small businesses, right?
Yep.
And then we're going to recruit a camera crew to interview people as they go through the town and share their ground level experiences in downtown Rockford. And once in the 60 days after that, we're going to launch a YouTube or social media campaign where we take this video that we've shot and we are running ads to it on Facebook or on Instagram. And we're doing a big campaign so that we can raise awareness of the theater, but more importantly, downtown Rockford to boost the economy. And as this campaign progresses, you know, we will continue to repurpose that content, get it out into local news outlets. And Mary over here, who's heading up the theater, will be on local news channels to talk about the show. And even right there, I just made that up at the top of my head, right?
Yeah.
And even that right there, just using those words, potential, progress, promise, in whatever order you want, and coupling it with 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, that's going to be huge in helping communicate to people that you actually know what you're doing. Yeah. So you got to show potential, promise, and progress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Stop the podcast right now. Rewind. Write that down if you didn't get it down, because that is gold right there. Because, you know, Mike, you can read somebody in, you know, the previous statistic was 7 seconds, but I bet you can do it in about 2 or 3 seconds, right? You can tell when somebody's got their stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
And right now, there's a lot of nonprofits out there that are not, they do not have this ready to go. And Mike, are you going to be a part of something that looks like it's stagnant, or do you want to be a part of something that's winning?
Well, we all want to be part of something that's winning. And yeah, I'm glad to give people a hand. I'm glad to help them get started. But at some point, you've got to show that you're making progress, that you're moving forward. And if we really think about, you know, if we really think about like why people give, right? There's so much psychology behind why people give. And we don't think about this often enough. We don't think about, you know, what their thinking is behind it. And people give, as much as we like to believe that people give because our cause is awesome and we're saving the city and all these things, it really starts with us, because human beings, we are self-centered, we're self-focused. So people give to feel good about themselves. They give to return a favor. If I can be really blunt, they give to get a tax deduction, right?
Sure.
They give to solve a problem they find personally important. They give to send a message about their beliefs. You'll see this happen a lot, you know, in different initiatives. They give to align themselves with their friends or their peers or community. I mean, Mary, you've seen this in the big projects that you've been involved in with some of these larger organizations. Yeah. If you walk around that convention and you haven't given, they look at you like something's wrong with you. Yeah. Right. And they're like, no, we are the American Cancer Society. Like, why would you not, you know? And so they align themselves with their friends, their peers, or their community. We see this a lot in terms of people who have experienced tragedy. They give to, in a sense, bring about justice or vengeance, if you will, where loved ones have been hurt, right? Mothers against drunk driving, dads against drunk driving, right? Any of these organizations often are birthed from someone's personal tragedy, mm-hmm. and then identifying with other people who have experienced a similar tragedy, and they organize these huge initiatives to change the world. Yeah. And so, but those seven reasons right there, I mean, just outline seven of them. We have to understand that and tap into that, be able to tap into that.
Mm-hmm. So good. Well, and you know, as you know, in the next couple of weeks, you and I are going to be partnering together to do a boot camp. And one of the things that we've done is just giving people tangible, practical ways that they can move forward with their fundraising. And one of the things that you teach that I think is so good, and I'm hoping that you're going to talk on this during our boot camp, which I think you are, is about magic words. And mm-hmm. you actually spoke about it at Social Media Marketing World a couple months ago, and it was so, so good. But I'm just curious about some of the things that, you know, you've taught in the past about just little statements, little word snippets that have, that create impact, that actually gets people to not just say, oh, you're such a wonderful cause, but actually like take action and respond. And you've used it in social media for your charity of choice. I've seen it a lot, but I'm just curious if you wouldn't mind just sharing a couple of those with our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So let me like set some context here, because I think whether it's making money in business through marketing or it's raising money through fundraising, we have to understand that marketing and fundraising, it's not about closing a sale. It's about opening a relationship. Fundraising isn't about finding a donor, right, and cashing it. It's about opening a relationship. And if you can simply take that mentality and ask yourself, is everything that I'm communicating leaving the door open for us to build a relationship with somebody, then that is a great safeguard. That's a great, you know, checks and balances system. So when I talk about that and we're talking about like, well, what does that have to do with writing? Make it really easy for us to understand. You know, I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning, Mary, and says, I can't wait to be confused today. Yeah. I can't wait to be bombarded with confusing messaging today. I just like the thrill of my life, right? And so when we talk about words and phrases, it's just these simple decisions. So let me give you a couple of these, a handful of these that have worked. Not sure if this is for you, but ... I mean, that is a really, really effective subject line for an email. It's a terrific opening line for a social media video or a post. And the way that you would use this is if you are doing a certain initiative, raising money for a certain initiative, let's go back to this theater in Rockford. Let's say that I have an email list of 5,000 people, donors, but now I'm looking to raise money for a very localized cause in Rockford, Illinois, right? For a theater. I'm not going to assume that everybody on my donor list is going to really care about that, but I don't know who is going to care about that. Right. I'm not sure this is for you, but ... they open it up. One of my great passions in life is art and theater and performance. And another great passion of mine is small business and small communities, downtown communities in these small to mid-sized cities in America. And we have an opportunity right now to give to XYZ Theater for the renovations. It's a historic theater, and we have an opportunity for this. Now, someone who receives that email, if they read the subject line, not sure if this is for you, but they're psychologically going to be more forgiving towards me for sending them that email. Because I'm admitting on the front end, this might not be right fit. Uh-huh. And I know that. Compare that to if I sent an email with the subject line, give to local theater now, you'll love it. Yeah. I'm making up their mind for them. And people in business, people do not like to be sold, but they do like to buy.
Yes.
Right? And in the fundraising world, people do not like to be manipulated. They like to give. And so we as fundraisers and me as a marketer, we're always toeing this line. We're always dancing along that line of, are we making sure that we're communicating what we want or we need, but at the same time, making the donor or potential donor still feel empowered that the decision is still in their hands.
Yeah.
So not sure if this is for you, but ...
And Mike, I was going to say, this is perfect when you have a lot of services and a lot of programs that you offer. And all of a sudden, like you're doing a large campaign, a capital campaign, or you're doing a 5K walk or something like that. Sometimes people are like, I don't really care about that part of your organization. So this can also be used in that context where it's like, hey, this is a new fundraiser. This is a new idea that's coming out that may or may not be for them. And
right.
So I think that this can be used in a lot of different ways, not just, you know, hey, I'm talking to a different audience versus, because most of the time these people are all interested in the cause if they got into your email list. But now do they like this new idea, this new fundraiser that you're doing? So really good.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And then the other one I was going to ask you to do is the one at the end, the very end, because I know we don't have a ton of time today, but I was like, because you've got like so many good ones. Like they're like, so that's why I'm like, oh, you have to listen into this bootcamp if, you know, I'll tell you more. But I think it's such a good, you know, so many good magic words. But that the one at the end of an email, that's the one I want you to share, if you don't mind.
There's a couple, so I'll just run these off really quick. But what happens when you've made contact with potential donors and they haven't given, even though they've committed? You know, you send a phrase, you use the phrase, I'm guessing you haven't gotten around to, you know, and you fill in the blank. And I know that's not proper English. My honors English teacher would kill me for using that kind of grammar, but it sounds human, right? So in an email communication or a voice message, hey, this is Mike, Mary, hope you're doing well today. I know that we talked, you know, last week about you supporting the theater downtown. I'm guessing you haven't gotten around to filling out that form. And that's just a great way that, like, no one wants to pound the donor and say, where's the money?
Yeah.
You know, that's no fun. No, none of us want to do that. Right. We don't want to do that. And another phrase could be, I'm guessing you haven't gotten around to taking care of that, you know, form yet. When would be a good time for us to talk? Right. That's another phrase. And that can lead into a third phrase. You know, I bet you're a bit like me. You're busy. You're overwhelmed. I totally understand. So, you know, before you make up your mind, I just want to remind you. That's another one. Before you make up your mind, I just want to remind you how important, you know, your support is. And here's where you end it. Like, every little penny helps. And that's how you tie, you know, a bow on this thing. Because if I just end it like, we so look forward to you helping us, thanks so much for your time, you want that little extra psychological push. And that little phrase, every little penny helps, every penny helps, every dollar helps. Yeah. That kind of triggers in their psychology. It's been proven. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
But these phrases, they work, right? So just to recap those, if I can, off the top of my head, right? You know, I'm guessing you haven't gotten around to the next phrase will be, you know, when would be a good time? I bet you're a bit like me, before you make up your mind. And then you just close with every dollar helps, every penny helps. Mm-hmm. And that's really how, you know, when you hear, even as you're hearing us talk right now, listening to this interview, I'm sure you can feel, like, psychologically, emotionally, how easy that is to have a conversation. I mean, you almost want me to ask you to give to this theater. And it's just an example, right? So, so that's a great little framework there that can help you guys immediately in your fundraising efforts.
Yeah. So can you share with us who gave you that tip on every penny counts?
Yeah, so that was Dr. Robert Cialdini, who is a heralded, academic. He's a professor, and he has written two very, very well known books. The most well known book is called Influence. Mm-hmm. It's called Influence, and he talks about six psychological triggers to getting people to, you know, kind of take action that you want them to, because we are human beings, because we respond to these things. And I was recently at a business conference where he was speaking. I was helping run the conference, and I was producing a few of the interview segments with him. And I've long admired his work, and I you know, stole him off to the side of the room. I said, "Doc, teach me something that you've never taught anyone else. Give me a leg up on all my competition." And he just laughed. He was the kindest guy. And he just told me that one. So there you guys go. It just straight from Robert Cialdini. Just terrific stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, and I actually did six episodes on the show. I'll put a link in the show notes to them, but I did an episode for every single one of those six, references that he has. And they're so good. It's like, rocket science stuff, but you know, it's stuff that every single fundraiser should be implementing. So I love that you got that insider scoop from the man himself.
Yes. Gave it to me.
You guys are only a few, you know, connections away from the man. So
there you go.
So, well, Mike, thank you so much. I mean, like, I just feel like, I mean, we've known each other for a while now, and you repeat some of this stuff, and you've trained it over and over, and it's like, it never gets old. It's, you are the master at sharing this marketing stuff, and you're just such a student of it. Like, you watch it. And I think that that's what all of us need to do, is that we pay attention. You know, Mike, when we're traveling together, I watch you, you pull out your cell phone. If somebody says something brilliant, like, you're jotting that note down and you're repeating it and sharing it with other people. And you're just so generous with wanting to share content and share, like, just real life stuff with people.
And, well, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Well, and I was just going to say, you tell people, and I want you to share real quick, when you send out an email to somebody, what is your intent when you send out that email to somebody?
When I send an email, and I email my lists, you know, pretty often, right? I believe in, you know, constant communication. You know, tell me the last time that there was a relationship that ever existed on Earth that didn't involve talking and was a successful relationship, right? Like, for a relationship to thrive, you've got to talk to one another. You've got to communicate. And this all stems back to, you know, marketing isn't about closing a sale. It's about opening a relationship. Fundraising is about opening a relationship. And so I just really feel like it's so important for us to understand that we want to add value every time we're talking to somebody. So my goal is, For the vast majority of my emails, probably 90%, when I write an email, I want to be able to point out, if somebody complains and says, "There's nothing valuable in this, that you're wasting my time," I can go back and say, "Oh, did you read this? You really weren't able to extract value from this message. There's nothing here of value for you, right? And that's my goal. Does that take more work? Yeah. Does it mean I write really long emails? No. I can share a phrase like, marketing isn't about closing a sale, it's about opening a relationship. It can be that simple. Do people still unsubscribe to my emails? Absolutely. Every single day, every time I send one. People will probably be shocked at how many people unsubscribe to my emails. But for those who want more, they stay and they read. And I continue to build a relationship with them because I'm staying in constant contact with them. Mm-hmm. That's really big. Yeah.
So my message here is you have to get on Mike's email list, okay? Like, I'm curious because, I mean, I read every single one of Mike's emails purely for the content and to watch how he's communicating with people. So I obviously want to hear what Mike has to say as well, but I'm always looking to see how is he crafting those emails because he is always adding value. And I actually had one of my clients recently say, you know what? The two people's emails that I always open are yours and Mike's. How do you do it? And I said, well, I'm a student of Mike. And so, you know, I'm watching what he's doing, but I want you guys to send out really good emails too. So be sure you follow Mike. And Mike, what's the best way that people can get plugged in and start hearing about the work that you're doing?
Yeah, if you want to get on my email list, it's going to be a little bit more bent towards marketing content, but it's mikekim.com/list. Really simple, right? You can get on my email list that way. You'll get some bonus resources there that I'll pass on to you. And the second place, easiest place to find me, if you want to learn a little bit more about this stuff, is on my podcast. And it's called the Brand You Podcast. It's about personal branding and marketing. But it's the number one show on Apple Podcasts right now in personal branding in that category. And so that's a great way to just kind of get to know me a little bit better. I mean, we're here on a podcast, so it naturally makes sense for you to just hop on over to my podcast, subscribe to the show, and just look through the headlines and see if there's anything of interest. If you're on social media, Instagram is by far my favorite social media platform. I'm on that all the time. And I answer every DM, every direct message. So it's almost better than texting me. So just follow me there at Mike Kim TV, and that's where we can find each other.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, the Brand You Podcast, like I mentioned, I mean, I binge listen to it. So like, I mean, just prepare yourself. But the great thing about the work that we do, like, you know, the nonprofit sector and our fundraisers is that we tend to be in the car a lot. You know, so like we're going to and from meetings. And so that's what worked out really great for me and why I assume you guys enjoy the podcast as well, is that you guys are on the go. And we want to make sure that you've got up-to-date information and you're tackling those contacts and reaching out to your donors. So thank you, Mike. Thanks for dropping so much value. And of course, Mike and I are going to be doing a boot camp here in the next couple weeks, so you guys can catch us. It is specifically for ministry and missionary leaders. But the thing is that you guys know that the content transfers over. So join us on there. I'll make sure that there's a link in the show notes, but it's just bit.ly.com or what is it? bit.ly.com.
bit.ly.com/ fully funded bootcamp.
Yep. Fully funded bootcamp. Yep. But I'll post a link in there and you guys can just scroll in my social media feed and you should see it somewhere. So
there you go.
Yeah, we're excited about that. But thanks guys for joining in today. And let's go change the world. One volunteer and one donor at a time. $1 at a time.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Bye guys. Would you like to create a killer 6 or 7-figure signature fundraiser where you have long-term sustainability, less stress, and the freedom to focus on what really matters? Well, Fundraising Freedom Academy may be just what you need. I'm Mary Valone, and I created an 18-month training program that gives you the clarity and confidence to launch, grow, and scale your signature fundraiser, including weekly coaching calls, masterclass trainings, and easy-to-edit templates to build your signature fundraiser. This was the exact plan I used to net $500,000 with a first-year event. Apply today for the next Fundraising Freedom Academy class at fundraisingfreedomacademy.com. That's fundraisingfreedomacademy.com.